Hello, everybody. Welcome back to In My Non-Expert Opinion. I'm your host, Chelsea Reif, and I'm also a podcast strategist helping people launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts. Today, you're going to hear from two powerhouses in the human design industry, Dana and Shayna, who run Dayluna, which is probably the company you already follow and love and maybe even got a human design certification from. Yeah, I know a few people that listen that have already worked with Dana and Shayna and have nothing but great things to say about them. So I had the honor of being on their podcast as well. So go check out their podcast, the Dayluna podcast, and you're going to be blown away by today's episode. Dana and Shayna are both human design experts and authors of the best-selling book, Your Human Design. In this episode today, they talk about their personal journey with human design and how it helped them find alignment, not only in their personal life, but their professional life. And they talk about the importance of understanding your human design and how to use it to make decisions that are in line with your energy and purpose. I think something that is the bigger picture here is a lot of us are dealing with challenges of navigating a very patriarchal way of operating our business and a lot of narratives that go on in the workplace. And so Dana and Shayna break down how human design can be used to create a more feminine way of doing business that honors boundaries and space. They also share how they use human design to hire employees and work as business partners. So just a hot tip, if you're hiring someone, add a section in your application that asks their human design or their astrology. I actually do that in my one-on-ones because it helps me understand people's energy. So for example, when I'm working with like a manifesting generator, I know that they love to talk about 12 different things in one episode and they have all this energy and they want to launch like 20 different segments. And that helps me understand, okay, here's how we're going to work there and reverse engineer your goals versus someone like me who's a reflector. Sometimes I need a bit more space to process things, or maybe I launch with lunar cycles versus doing like twice a week episodes or something. So understanding people's human design and astrology gives me a lens to help them. And Dana and Shayna really break down how they do that as well. So if you're a human design junkie or you're a beginner and you're like, ooh, this piqued my interest, this episode is going to give us a glimpse to the transformative power of human design and how it can help us live our best lives. Before we dive into this incredible episode, I have a super special giveaway going on this month to win one of my most popular Notion documents, the Interactive Podcast Planner. So you all know I'm a Virgo moon and Virgo rising, and I love things to be organized, simple, and clear. I really don't overcomplicate things, and I like to keep things very minimalist, which is how I organize my podcast and how I've been able to keep it going for nearly 7 years now. This Notion planner is actually something I give to my one-on-one high-ticket clients, but as a special thank you this month, we're running the giveaway that anyone who leaves a review on Apple Podcasts will be entered to win this Notion doc. So all you got to do is go to Apple Podcasts, find my podcast, obviously, scroll down to the section where it says write a review, and then write your review, but screenshot it before you send it into Apple Podcasts. This is because sometimes Apple Podcasts can take up to 2 weeks to show your review, and I want to make sure you're entered into this giveaway this month. So again, Apple Podcasts, scroll down, write a review, take that screenshot, and then you can send it over to info@chelseareif.com or on Instagram @chelseareif and just shoot me a DM and you'll be entered into that giveaway. So again, if you are someone that is craving some support when it comes to organizing your podcast, I think this Notion Interactive Planner is going to be exactly what you're looking for. And all you have to do is leave a review. All right, let's dive into this week's episode. You all, I am here with Dana and Shayna. Yes, their names rhyme, of Dayluna. They are human design experts. They are the authors of the best-selling book, Your Human Design, and they run one of the top-rated podcasts, which I'm about to be on as well. We're doing a podcast swap right now, and I'm so excited to talk to you guys. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so excited to be here.
How often do people laugh that you guys have rhyming names?
Well, in college, it was annoying. We were kind of embarrassed. We're like, Shayna and Dana. And we would always say, like, our other friends needed to insert their name first before we, like, you know, like, we didn't want to say Shayna and Dana back to back. And now it's, like, meant to be. It's easy. It's easy to remember. It's, like, now we kind of like it and just own it. But, yeah, it's a thing. We chose it.
And you can't do the celebrity couple name thing where, you know, when you combine names, like you can't, your names are already that. So you can't be Shadana or Deshana. Like it's just Dana and Shayna. That's amazing. So Human design is obviously a newer meaning-making system. A lot of people call it the new astrology. It's something that I started to dive into maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I still truly can't understand every little facet of it because it's so complex. And I feel like usually people find meaning-making systems when something happens, like they have a rock bottom moment or a really come to Jesus moment, like something's wrong. Was that the case for both of you in finding human design, or was it just a self-discovery journey?
Yeah. So with our journey with human design, we found it when we were after college working the jobs that we thought we should be working. Everything makes sense. And, you know, working our 9 to 5s and feeling like this is not it. Like, why? Everyone else around me seems like they can do this and they're okay. But Dana and I both were like, wait, hold on. This cannot be the rest of my life. This is just not my life. And that really led us down the path of like, okay, well then what is, like, who am I and what am I doing and what is alignment for me? And that led us to astrology and breath work and, you know, yoga and Kundalini and just a bunch of different modalities that really help you to decondition ultimately and come back to yourself and knowing yourself. And that's when we discovered human design. And we both found out that we were 2-4 projectors, and it just made so much sense. Like, oh, and that's why you just get me on such a deep level. And also why the work that we're doing is not, like, I see why we were drawn to that work and why we were getting recognition, which is a big thing as being projectors, is having recognition. And that felt good, but it's actually not really aligned for us. And here's why. And so we committed to using our design for 1 month and seeing what happened. And honestly, by the end of that month, we had so much clarity and we had just so many invitations coming in of things that we could shift into doing. And so we decided, okay, let's just keep going with this. And now here we are, and we haven't stopped. And it's just led down this hole. I mean, honestly, every single thing in our life is completely different than it was 7 years ago. So it's just crazy. And yeah, that was kind of our journey. I mean, I wouldn't say we were at rock bottom, but we were definitely at like, hold on, like, everything I've ever been told my whole life is a lie. And like, why isn't this working? Like, I followed the manual and I put this IKEA furniture together and it still looks like shit. Like, what's happening?
Oh my gosh. I feel like when you have that call too, like to your point, it wasn't rock bottom. It's usually a nudge internally, and sometimes it manifests in a bodily symptom. Like, you're anxious to go to work every day, or you're depressed or something. And you're like, this doesn't make sense. Like, I get a biweekly paycheck. I have health insurance. My boss and my team, like, we get along, but something is off. Did you guys experience any body-based symptoms that were like red alarm? Like, we need to get out of this because it's not aligned.
Yeah, definitely. For me, it was exhaustion, you know, like being done with work and getting home and just being so exhausted and then waking up the next day and like still feeling exhausted. And that kind of lack of energy really led its way into like a depressive state for me. Like, if I don't have energy to do anything and I don't even want to hang out with my friends on the weekend when I'm not working because I'm still recovering from working, and then I finally catch up and then I have to go back to work again, like that vicious cycle of just not having energy was really big for me. But also, I think the deeper thing besides the physicality was actually feeling like I was deepening my kind of spiritual journey, like sort of having a spiritual awakening and starting to really be very fascinated in different spiritual modalities and ideas and concepts. And I was just so into it, like really wanting to share it with the people around me and feeling sort of like I had to like live in the closet, like in the spiritual closet. And like the people at work were so closed off to it, like so closed off to it that if I would have told them anything about it, like they would have totally just freaked out, you know, like, and so I felt like I was living this double life. And like the people at work thought they knew who I was and they really liked me, but I've had this feeling like, none of you know who I am. And for me, it was actually that part that felt the most like my soul, my being severed into two people. And I think that that's really common in our job. We have so much conditioning and so much programming and storytelling to us from a very young age that it's like, no one loves their job. Like, you just show up and you work, and then you get to be yourself on the weekend. You get to travel on the weekend. You get to like do the things that you want to do on the weekend. You get to talk in the way that you want to talk and have the conversations you want to have on the weekend. And that was so my conditioning, my programming was like, yeah, nobody gets to be their full and true self in their job all the time. And for me, it was that part. Like, I just knew, like, sort of like a pit in my stomach feeling like, this is wrong. Like, I need to be showing up in a full, in as my true self, like my full self, not like this fake version of me, so that I can make it in my career life.
Yeah. And I think that that's such a common experience for people feeling trapped by their work and having ailments, like physical ailments, happen when they have been burning themselves out for years and years and years. We see it all the time. And, you know, the conditioning is so strong of nobody likes their job. Like, it's work. You know, like, suck it up and do what you need to do to not be homeless. It's like, okay. And then also we have the cliche conditioning, especially us as millennials, of like, from like the Disney Channel and everything ever, of like, be yourself and like, just be who you are and love who you are and like, do what you love and never work a day in your life. It's like, okay, cool. But like, how? And like, who am I? And what do I love? Like, how do I do what I love and never work a day in my life? Like, how do you get there? And human design was the first thing that we came across that really had answers and really had tools. Like, it's not just for self-reflection, but it's really like, okay, here's how your energy works. And here's how you work with your energy to have clarity and to take action and to have, like, in the small moments with how you're making your meals and how you're answering emails, to the big moments of quitting your job or starting a business or moving or committing to a relationship in a bigger way. These bigger things, it has these resources of really, or I want to say, it gives you the languaging to really understand what's consistent for you, what's reliable, how to access your truth. So that way these bigger decisions aren't so scary and you don't feel so lonely in this, or trapped of like, well, everyone hates their job. It's like, okay, well, why do I hate my job? What specifically? And what specifically drew me to this and why? And that's interesting. And let me use that and let me tweak this and let me work less, but like not tell anyone and see if anyone notices. Like, there's so many little things you can do until you get to that point of like, okay, I have clarity and I'm ready to jump off the cliff because this is not okay. It's not okay that everyone hates their job, but they do it anyways. Like, why is that accepted collectively? Like, that's the biggest BS I've ever heard. Yet we literally, like, billions of us do that as just like an accepted part of our society. It's crazy to me. It's crazy that we're not like all mass rioting all the time to be like, this is, what's the point of life if that's what we're going to do?
I think about that all the time where I'm like, I truly just don't get why we don't pick one day. Everyone just picks a day that we're going to take off and we're just going to all meet in the park and like lounge and read and talk yes. and write and draw and see what happens and be like, oh, wait, we can all collectively do that over and over again and share resources and exchange energy and materials. Like, I'm dreaming of this utopia. I feel like you're on the same page. So I'm like, let's like maybe pick a day, the day Luna holiday or something, where we're like, let's like figure out what we're going to do with our lives. I 100% agree. You said something too about languaging. And I think it's really important that people understand like human design is not a religion. It's a meaning-making system, just like astrology. Science is a meaning-making system. People make sense of things when they have meanings to attach to them. So I love that you said it allows you to not feel like, oh, like, for example, I'm a reflector and I do need more time to make decisions. And I used to think, why do I take so long? Like, and I used to be impulsive. So I used to hire people like right after discovery call. I'd be like, let's go, let's move forward. And then have to realign everything. And I'm like, okay, maybe if you actually listen to your human design and gave yourself space, it would be better. So now I have the languaging to be like, oh, because I take a lunar cycle. I would love to hear more about how that languaging helped you all when you did kind of that experiment of leaning into it for a month.
Yeah. So human design really teaches that your mind is here to observe. It's here to learn and process and teach and inspire, but it's not here to make your decisions. Your body is really attuned to where it's meant to be in the right place at the right time. It's meant to be steering or driving your energetic vehicle, and your authority, your consistent way of making decisions, is here to be kind of like turning that wheel of your energetic car. And your mind is here to observe and to see out the window and be like, that's interesting, that's cool, whatever, right? And that's really hard to do when your mind does not, when your mind's not on board for that, because we're really conditioned to overanalyze and to make every decision that makes sense with our mind. So when you have languaging to these things that you felt that you just didn't know were consistent or were special or were valuable, when somebody gives you that languaging, it allows your mind to say, oh, okay, that's why I've always felt this. That's why I prefer things this way. That's why that didn't work out for me. I can let go of the wheel now and let my body attune and trust myself, because your mind's not constantly questioning and doubting and second guessing and comparing. Because a lot of times we say, oh, that worked for my boss, like, let me try it. That worked for my partner or my friend or my parents, like, I need to be more like that to have success or peace or freedom or whatever it is in our life. So the languaging part is huge, because it allows your mind to like, oh, got it. Okay, now I can sit back and attune to my path, attune to my purpose. For us, that, I mean, honestly, I think for anyone, like, that's the biggest part with human design, because it creates freedom and it creates surrender, and it allows it to be okay versus like something that you're just like, we'll see. It's like, no, I can trust this. It feels easier, if you will.
And I just wanted to give like a specific example, like in my own chart. You know, I have what we call an emotional wave, and anyone who has emotional authority, which you'll see that written on your chart in the categories, if you have emotional authority, a lot of us do. It's about 50% of the population that has emotional authority. If you have emotional authority, then you have an emotional wave. And this means that in addition to regular emotions that are in reaction to your life, you also have a random emotional wave that is giving you these highs and lows that have nothing to do with your life. And this emotional wave is, the highs and lows are here to help you deepen. They're here to help you grow and to see life in different perspectives and to really truly feel feelings so that you can evolve from them without needing something in your life to happen to give that feeling or to cause that feeling. So before human design, I was really struggling with having these emotional highs and lows with no awareness of why, right? And of course, the words like bipolar and depression and like, are my hormones in balance? Like every time I'm in this low, like, you know, all of these kind of just questions and really having a lack of understanding around it. And that lack of understanding, you know, when I was in a low on my wave and all of a sudden for no reason in this low, I would try to pick a fight in my life so that something in real life actually equaled the feeling I was feeling. So with all of my romantic partners, like causing fights out of nothing for no reason with zero awareness, just because I was trying to create, you know, a circumstance that made sense for me to feel the way that I was feeling. So all of these things, this self-doubt, this questioning, this self-sabotage, was all coming from a lack of awareness. And once I discovered this languaging, like, oh, I know exactly what this is called. It's called an emotional wave. There's nothing wrong with me. Here's why I'm meant to have it. Here's how it works. Understanding the mechanics of that, and then being able to talk about it with my partners, with myself, being able to express it in a way that was healthy, it literally changed my life. And in so many ways, when there's something that's happening within us energetically that we either suppress because we don't understand it, or, you know, it's a shadow side of us, so we try to suppress it, that thing actually grows bigger and stronger, and it comes out in sort of a twisted lower expression way. There is no removing a part of ourselves, right? You are exactly as you're meant to be, whole and complete. You're not here to change yourself. But once you have this languaging and awareness, it shifts everything. Suddenly you can understand yourself. And from understanding yourself, you can accept these parts of yourself start to express them and start to love them. And you literally transmute the energy in your body into the highest expression from having this awareness and this languaging. And that's the whole thing about energy, right? Energy can never be destroyed. It can only be transformed. So all of the energy in our body, it's not going to ever go anywhere. You're not going to change yourself by understanding your human design. But what you are going to do is completely transmute your energy so that suddenly the things that have become that have been your greatest fears become your greatest sources of power and trust. The things that have been holding you back and creating disruptive tension in your relationships become your greatest source of wisdom and being able to help guide other people. So human design is really here to help you alchemize. And we say that word a lot, like alchemy, you know, in the spiritual community. It's like, what does that actually mean? And, you know, for us, having this awareness, having the languaging, having the tools, you literally alchemize your energetic blueprint that you've always had into its highest expression.
Oh my gosh, I love that. It reminds me so much of a conversation that Oprah had with Caroline Miss, and she talks about archetypes and how actually stress isn't just, oh, I'm angry at something or something bad happened at work. It's actually because we're either not creating what we want to create and in that way, saying what we want to say, doing what we want to do, eating what we want to eat. We're just, like you said, conditioned to be, oh, I have to go to this boring gray cubicle every day. And I have to listen to this annoying guy. And we have to do 2-hour meetings. Like, it's that conditioning that we've been talking about. And so when you think of like, oh, maybe my stress isn't work, it's actually because I'm not creating. I'm not actually getting out what I want to say. And if you look up the word create, it actually means to bring to physical life. Like, that's what creating is bringing something internally to the external. And so I just feel like everything with human design, it allows you to create more when you can understand, oh, I can create by listening to my authority, to my strategy, understanding what type I am, etc. You guys also said something that, saying a lot of things that remind me of like this wave of business leaders and entrepreneurs is like, we're really trying to build and deconstruct the patriarchal narratives that we've been sold. And so we're trying to build almost like a more feminine way of business where, yeah, I need a few days to make a decision to listen to my emotional wave. I actually need to give you a month and then I'll get back to you. Where I feel like that's not how especially North America, USA runs. It's like, no, you need to tell us tomorrow. We need to make decisions by end of day and then that's it. So it reminds me of this quote that was like, as business owners, we get to build the prototype of the world we want to live in. And I feel like that's what you two have done with De Luna, is like, we're building the world we want to live in, where we honor each other's boundaries and space. And I'm curious, as business owners, how has human design played into like hiring and even being business partners?
Yeah, I mean, it's everything. It's such a big part of everything that we do, because as important as it is to be honoring your own energy and listening to your own authority, when you're in partnership, which we all are, whether it's a relationship with a friend or a family or a significant other or a business partnership or even a coworker, right? Like anyone that you are connecting with, when you're holding that space for yourself, you're naturally then able to hold that space for others and see how they're different from you and want them to honor their truth and their differences. So when it comes to, you know, working together in partnership, business partnership, it's so important for Dana and I to both be accessing our own truth and coming together and using that to provide or propel into De Luna. So when Dana and I come together, we create false sense, but a sense of a manifesting generator. So we have lots of things going on. De Luna itself is a manifesting generator. So she has lots of things going on, so many different offerings, and really honoring that energy, but also within that, cutting ourselves off, having rest. There's a lot of times that Dana and I will be super efficient, get so much work done. And then it's like, literally don't talk to me for 3 days. Like, I need to be cut off and rest. And that's great. So we honor that a lot within our own relationship. And it's really been so amazing having human design to do that. And then within hiring people, we really use our authority with hiring them. And honestly, the people that work for us, we ask for them to send us their human design chart when they apply for the position. And we look at their chart, but we don't use that as like the deciding factor. we really meet with them and talk about, you know, the things that they're interested in and their gifts and all of that. And we teach them about their human design when they come on board. We give them a reading because it's so important that they are working in a way that is supporting their purpose and their gifts and the things that they're seeing, that creative freedom that they want to have or that they don't want to have. That's the most important thing to us. So our team is very, like, knows a lot about human design, and they're very open to be saying like, oh, I'm no longer into this. Like, okay, great. Like, it's not about, oh, well, then you're fired. It's like, okay, awesome. Like, that's not meant to be worked on then in this moment. It's not in alignment. Why would I want you doing something energetically within our container here that is out of alignment, that's weaving in misalignment into our business? Like, that's counterproductive. So we find solutions and we, you know, delegate or hire someone else to do that or whatever it is. So we definitely have human design at the forefront of everything. And there's so many things and people out there, I think, that can tend to use human design in a limiting way of like, oh, you can only, you know, hire a generator or a manifesting generator. And we've seen that to not be the case at all, because you can hire a projector in there and they find all of these efficiency gains and insights and ways that you can tweak it. And, you know, so we all just have so many different gifts. And if you're using human design in a way that's limiting you within your business, within your relationships, within any way, then you're using it wrong, because human design is meant to expand and magnetize and provide freedom in the way that you work and connect. And there's always room for diversity within your business, within your partnerships. Like, that's, we're here to be different and to work together with that different, those differences. So is there anything else you wanted to add in there, Dana?
I just wanted to say that we feel really blessed that we've gotten to use our own strategy and authority. We've gotten to use human design to build our business around human design. Like, it's been such a spiritual journey for us to create this business in a way that is truly authentic and aligned for us. It's just so fulfilling. And what I was talking about in the beginning of before discovering human design, that feeling of like, I don't get to show up as my real and true and full self, and my soul being like, that's not okay. I'm so grateful to say now I truly feel the opposite. Like, I genuinely feel like every single part of me, every single side of me is welcome here. And the what I do in my business and how I show up of service is a complete, you know, completely integrated with my entire being. And that feeling feels so good. And I just want to help other people to feel that, right? As much as I can. But it's funny because we didn't study business. We have never really worked with like a business coach or like a financial coach that's like in a really traditional sense. We have literally used our strategy and authority for every decision we've ever made. And sometimes we seem crazy to the people in our lives, like especially when we were first starting out, like our parents, for example. They were like, you guys are nuts. You guys are nuts. This is not going to work. You can't do it that way. You can't, right? And my stepdad is a business owner. So he specifically was like, you can't do that. It's not going to work. And I had to be like, you know what? Please keep that to yourself. Like, this is what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I trust myself. Like, this is it. And of course, then once you reach some level of success doing that thing, then suddenly everyone's like, oh, wow, it worked. Like, wow, amazing. You're an inspiration. It's like, where were you when we were starting, dude? But, you know, that's an important thing to talk about. If you're going to be transforming the world by truly living authentically, get ready to ruffle feathers. It's going to happen. And it's okay for that to happen. You know, the people that are really upset by you starting to say no to things or really following your truth, those are the people that benefited from you sacrificing yourself for them. So it's okay to see relationships change and, you know, new things that you're awakening to as you start to really give yourself permission to be your true self. That's okay. And it's going to happen. And I think that honestly, that's what keeps people so stuck at not saying yes to their truth, because they're afraid that their romantic relationship might have to change if they actually start listening to their truth. They're afraid that their relationship with their parents or, you know, with whoever might change if you actually start listening to your truth. But I think it's so worth it to go through the fire so that on the other end, you have these healthy relationships and healthy expressions that really feel like such an ultimate win-win, you know, like for you feeling so good about it, feeling so aligned and in purpose, and also being of service in the way that you're really meant to be.
I'm quickly interrupting this episode to share with you something I am so excited to teach you about, which is pitching. I constantly get requests from people to understand how to either pitch guests on their own podcast or to pitch themselves as a guest on other podcasts, and understanding how to craft something that really stands out. So usually I teach this to my one-on-one clients or my mastermind students. And I was like, you know what? This really is a skill that can help people in all areas of life. I feel like when you know how to pitch, you can do anything you want, right? When you're writing a negotiation letter to your boss, or you're trying to figure out rent next year with your landlord, or you're pitching yourself for a media opportunity, all these things require you to understand who you're talking to and how you're positioning yourself, which again is the art of pitching. So from Tuesday, August 22nd to Thursday, August 24th, I'm running a workshop series called Pitch Perfect. Each day is focused on something different. Day one is going to be how to pitch guests for your podcast. Day two is going to be how to pitch yourself as a guest on other people's podcasts. And day three is going to be a live feedback clinic. So you're actually going to bring a pitch and get some hot seat coaching as well as a Q&A. I'm always blown away by what people bring to the hot seat coaching sessions, because you can really tell they integrated what they learned and they're ready to go out and send those pitches. What's really cool about this workshop series is you can either choose one that you want to go to. So if you're like, I don't really need help finding guests for my podcast, but I want to learn how to pitch myself, you can just choose that workshop, or you can buy all three. It's totally up to you, right? It's kind of a choose your own adventure, if you will. So you can find the link in my show notes. This is going down August 22nd to the 24th. We're going to meet 90 minutes each day, and you are going to learn how to pitch perfect. You know what's interesting too? You guys were talking about millennials of like, wait, why do we have to stay in these jobs? And I was reading this article how millennials really are stuck in the weirdest generation, because we have parents that were boomers that literally had the same job for 40 plus years, maybe switched once or twice. And then right under us is Gen Z, who's like middle fingers to everything corporate. We don't care about any of this. We're burning it down. And there's an article that came out that Gen Z is projected to have like 15 jobs across 5 different industries over the course of their lifetime. So it's like, and then we're in the middle of like, wait, we want to do all these fun things and pivot and change. But then we have our parents like, you can't do that. How are you going to build a legacy? How are you going to move up in your company? And so it's like this kind of push and pull that millennials specifically are kind of stuck in. And I feel like this is where human design plays a role, where it's like, okay, hold on, let me tune out all the noise. You know, millennial is even a label, right? Maybe don't give that so much power. Look at your human design, read into different strategies, authorities, environments even that can help you. And then you can start making decisions from that place versus, oh, I have to listen to my parents, or I have to jump off the ledge like Gen Z is doing. Like there might be a different way. And it gave me a lot of permission with pivoting, like you said. I think entrepreneurs in general, we're pivoting all the time, because the thing about entrepreneurs is we always take risks. So we're always learning new things, and we're like, wait, we could do it that way. And no one's ever done it this way. And so of course we're going to change. I actually used to do like mindset and manifestation coaching, and then I pivoted 100% into podcast coaching and strategy. And I remember being like, I am letting so many people down. All my old clients are going to hate me. They're literally going to unfollow me, block me, send me hate mail. Like, I'm going to get the worst reaction. Nothing happened. They were all like, that makes sense. Like, you've been podcasting. You like podcasting. It only makes sense that that would be your next step. I think as a reflector too, I am someone that likes to be a million different things. But to your point, I pivoted. And if I would have stayed doing that mindset coaching, that would have been me sacrificing my own self-trust and trying to people please my way through life, which is just not how I wanted to do it. And I'm sure people listening don't want to do it. So I'm curious, there's, you know, we have themes and all these strategies and ways that we can look at our design. And one of the things is like the not self theme. And I'm curious, has something happened in your business or specifically like in your life where you were not living in alignment and you felt this not self theme really come into light and you're like, oh, this is it?
Yeah. I mean, all the time. Like, we're designed to feel our not self themes regularly. And it's like, we like to say this check engine light to say, oh, something's out of alignment here. You're not using your energy in a way that's serving you right now. And it's not, doesn't mean anything's wrong. It's just kind of like check yourself before you wreck yourself kind of energy. And, you know, so for the different types, for manifestors, your self theme is peace. When you just feel that you are at peace, you're doing your own thing, nobody's trying to control you, you just feel like you get to do what you want, you have freedom, and you're just at peace, that's when you know you're in alignment. And you can have that feeling in a moment with, you know, making breakfast, or you can have that with your entire career. It can be as big or as small as it's meant to be. And your not self theme is anger as a manifestor, feeling like F you, F the world, like I'm just going to burn it all down. I'm pissed. That kind of angry energy. That's when you know you're out of alignment. And it's not about saying, oh, I'm angry and now I'm going to keep myself there and identify with it and hold myself there and something's wrong with me. But it's not about like self-hate or judging yourself. It's just noticing, oh, okay, I'm experiencing anger. And can I inform, use your strategy with all of the not self themes and self themes. It's always about using your strategy, which is different based on your type. So for manifestors, it's informing and like telling the people around you what you like, what you don't like, what you're confused about, what's messy or what you have that you want to put out next. Informing is going to bring you back into peace. And then for generators and manifesting generators, your self theme is satisfaction and feeling like I did this thing. It felt great. I feel satisfied. Like just that feeling of like, hell yeah, I did that thing and it felt really good, right? And the not self theme there is frustration, feeling like, oh, I don't know why it's not working out or why this isn't right. And I don't have the answers and I just feel stuck and I'm frustrated or it didn't happen how I wanted it to happen, all of that kind of energy. So when you're feeling frustrated, a lot of times it's because you're using your energy doing or working on something that your body's not actually into. You're in your mind thinking 10 steps ahead or future tripping. And you're right now you're making like a meal that you don't even want to eat. And so you're feeling frustrated or you're just on autopilot most of your day through work, through life, and you're not actually tapped into like, does my body have energy and is lit up by this thing in front of me? And so you feel this subtle sense of just like, ugh, frustrated, like why even try? And that's when you're in your not self. So it's about tuning into your body, listening to what your body is responding to with what's directly in front of you right now, being really present. Do I have energy towards this email or am I drudging through the mud to get to answer this? And if so, can I go to the next email and just not reply to that email in this moment? That's going to help bring you back into like, that was really satisfying. I used my energy in a way that felt good today. And then for projectors, which Dana and I both are, your not self theme, well, your self theme is success and feeling like that was a successful meal, conversation, morning, business thing, actually having success on the physical plane, but also in that more energetic sense of success, like that just felt like I could do whatever I wanted to do and I felt free and I felt good and I felt successful in that, right? Now, the not self theme is bitterness, feeling like must be nice or like they don't understand or like I was right and nobody cares. And so why even try? That feeling of bitterness, sometimes it can show up as jealousy or envy or comparison, feeling like you were you're repelling and because you're trying to insert your advice or insight on people and they're just not wanting it. And so feeling really bitter or resentful, that shows up all the time. Like I can make a meal and then it didn't work out and I can feel bitterness to myself of like, gosh, you just don't have your shit together. Like you should have ordered these, you know, you thought you had these groceries and you didn't, and you didn't have enough energy and you're so focused on other things. Like, I wish I was a generator and I feel bitterness about a freaking meal. And then I'm like, oh, hold on. Okay. I need to rest more. I need to focus on my fascinations and what I'm building. Like, do I genuinely love this? Am I in love with it? And that energy alone, even spending 15 minutes there, can set me up to feel successful in all of the other things throughout my day when I don't feel like my energy is being taken advantage of for no reason. That's kind of the big theme there. And then with reflectors, the self theme is surprise. and just feeling like, wow, life is delightful and surprising and exciting, and having that like childlike wonder of like, oh my gosh, like, whoa, that's so cool and interesting. And I felt this new thing today. And like, that was so surprising. That energy is when you're in alignment. And when you're in your not self, it's disappointment. Like, I was attached to this thing and then it didn't happen how I thought it was going to happen. And now I feel disappointed. Or I was really seeing the highest expression in this person and I was trying to like hold them to fit into this view of what I thought they needed to be. And they don't live up to that. And I feel really disappointed in them. Feeling like you're judging and just disappointed in life in general, that is when you are in your not self. And it's about saying, okay, let me let all that shit go. And today, who am I? What is life today? And all the things I felt yesterday, I'm literally going to wipe that slate clean and let today be different and feel today differently. And then I'm going to let that shit go. And the next day, who am I today? And the more freedom you can give yourself, the more permission you can give yourself, the more that you can learn and get these exciting experiences that just naturally happen throughout your day and throughout your life. Like a meal can be a wonder. And that feeling of like, ooh, I didn't know we had grapes. Like that surprise, like that's alignment for a reflector in the small moments. Of course, there's also the big moments of like, oh shit, we're whisking off to Italy today. And that feels like a big moment of surprise, right? A surprise guest or a surprise abundance that comes into your account. Like that is the bigger ways, but there's also the small things in life when you just release those expectations and attachments that you might be having when you notice that you have them.
Oh, I just wanted to say that when we talk about this check engine light, if you have awareness of when that light comes on, then it can be all good to feel your not self theme every once in a while. It's when you don't have awareness of it that you live in this prolonged state of bitterness for years, and it comes out in an unconscious way in every conversation you have and everything that you create. So I just wanted to say that making friends with your check engine light is so important. It's so beautiful and it totally changes everything. But I also wanted to say, I'm so excited that we're on a call right now with a reflector and to hear your experience of like what surprise feels like for you, because it's not every day, obviously, that we get to meet a reflector. We call you guys like our unicorns in our human design world. But yeah, I'm curious to hear, like, how does that surprise and that disappointment show up in your life?
Oh my gosh. I was like nodding furiously the whole time when you were talking about reflectors, because first when you said, let that shit go and who am I today? I know my listeners are probably like laughing along too, because I did a whole episode that kind of turned into a series about like being a new video game character all the time. So like waking up and being like, what video game character am I going to be? Like, what am I going to wear? How am I going to speak? And I've used that tool to help me with business, to help me with health. And it's literally what you're talking about. Like, let me be the chameleon and shapeshifter and change. And then in terms of the actual surprise and delight, something that I always feel like, ooh, this is surprise and delight, is whenever I walk somewhere, I try to take like a new street, and always I'll find like a cute little cafe or a little cookie shop or a gelato spot. And I'm like, it has that childlike wonder you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you even use the word childlike. And I think earlier you said jump off a cliff. It reminds me of the fool in the tarot deck. And I have that tattoo. And so I was like, oh my gosh, as you were saying, I'm like, oh, so many synchronicities. Like even this conversation, as you can see, is like giving me surprise and delight, because it's like the dots are connecting and everything's clicking. It also makes sense when you said the disappointment, like the not self theme. I tend to have that childlike wonder with people of like, I'm a very curious person. That's why I'm a podcast host and I like talking to people. And so when they aren't either who I thought they were, or like the conversation didn't go how I wanted, or just something happened, there is this disappointment. And even you using that word, it's the word my therapist keeps using with me. And she's like, it's okay to be disappointed right now. Like, you're going to be disappointed. This is going to be uncomfortable. You almost need to allow a window of disappointment of what happened with this person run through you, or else it's like not going to release from your body. Like we've been talking about this body-based wisdom. So yeah, it's surprising and delighting that we're like talking about this right now too.
Wow. I love that. And I love your therapist for knowing that and saying that. It's, and also the video game character Yes, yes, yes. So I've never heard that before and I'm obsessed. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. I love it. And also the advice of like just simply the small things of I'm just going to take a different street. I'm literally going to go for a walk and down a different street than I've been. Like that's so simple. And I think that when we're talking about, you know, these big themes like purpose and, you know, success and abundance and alignment, we think of these like giant mountaintop goals or things that we have to like live up to and major change that we have to make, right? And it's really in all of the small things. And I know that you've probably heard that before, but it's like, okay, but are you actually changing in the small things? Like, are you actually walking down a different road? Are you actually tuning into like this email in front of you and checking in with your body? Are you actually asking why does something fascinate you? Or are you fascinated in the work? Or are you running on fumes, but you just keep going because you feel like you have to? Really, those small things, it makes all the difference. And noticing where you have your not self theme or your self theme in the small ways, it becomes so much easier then to notice it in the bigger ways because you can tell like, oh, I'm feeling bitterness towards this coffee date, or I'm feeling success towards this coffee date. Like, okay, now my mind has this reference point of something that I felt that later on I can then use as a point of reference. Like, okay, I know what that feels like and I can attune to my body. My mind can let go and I can come back into alignment.
Oh, I totally agree. It's funny too, because going back to like hiring and bringing on team members, I noticed there's these periods where I get really burnt out, and I've learned this a million times. And I'm like, it's always when you do back-to-back-to-back meetings, your schedule is packed, you have no space in your day. And I noticed one time that all my mentors and team members and coaches were manifesting generators. And I was like, maybe I need to let them know. Like, it's not like, to your point, I'm not firing them because of that. But I was like, I need to let them know I need more space in my day and I need more time to process things. So yesterday I told my business operations person, I was like, I know for you, this doesn't seem like a big deal. You're like, oh, just go do that. Like block off an hour and do that. I'm like, for me, that sounds like a 4-hour task that I'm going to have to block half a day, go to a co-work studio, blah, blah, blah. But I feel confident telling her that because to your point, I know my design now. I know certain things about me. I also follow astrology and I'm just like, that's not the vibe of the day right now. Like, I don't want to do that. And so it's really cool. And I think interesting that we all can bring these facets of these meaning-making systems again into our work. I'm curious because people pull up their charts, and if you don't know what human design is, you're just like, what is going on here? Like, this is a crazy, crazy symbol I'm seeing. And you can read through all the, you know, definitions and things that usually these softwares spit back to you. But I think something that people do, and you guys have probably talked about this, is they start to almost feel limited or start comparing their design to other people's. So they'll be like, oh, like, we'll use my example. Oh, I wish I had more energy and that I was a manifesting generator because they have all this energy and can just do a million things. Or I wish I was a reflector because they're the unicorns. And what would you tell people to look into their chart more to find their gifts? Like, what would you tell people that are comparing their own designs to other people's?
Yeah, this is a beautiful question because I think so many people experience it. Also, another example we run into a lot is generators, since they have the most common design being like, oh, I'm not special. I'm a generator. Like, guess who is else also a generator? Oprah, Albert Einstein, Eckhart Tolle, right? Like, there are amazing generators out in the world, and like, it's not meant to limit you in any way. So the first thing that I always like to offer up to people is that, you know, your soul chose your design for a reason. It wanted this design because it has all of the perfect things to help you live your unique life purpose. So I think reconnecting with that place, that feeling, that kind of like inner remembering, like, oh yeah, I wanted to be this. And the challenges that are associated with it, I wanted to take those on and learn from it. And starting to connect in with sort of like that higher place, that higher connection, I think is really beneficial because it automatically turns you looking at your human design through a lens of victimhood into you looking at your human design through a lens of empowerment. Like that shift can happen simply from connecting in and sort of remembering how exciting it is to have this journey and the challenges. So that's always going to be the first thing. The second thing is that, you know, when we talk about human design, oftentimes we talk about the five types: manifestors, generators, man gens, projectors, and reflectors, because those five types are so transformational to really have that awareness of. But beyond your type, your human design gets so, so, so much more specific. Literally every single person is completely unique. The same way we have a blueprint or a thumbprint on our finger that is completely unique and nobody else on the planet has the same one, that is the same thing with our human design chart. So there are such layers of complexity. And if you're getting stuck on the first thing, like, oh, I'm just a generator, like start looking into the deeper layers and you're going to see, yeah, maybe you're a generator, but that has projected channels where you're here to guide people in this way, or, you know, all of the other things about you. Even as a reflector, I think sometimes all reflectors hear about their design is you're a reflector, you're everything and you're nothing. And it's like, okay, but what else? And so going into those deeper layers, like even as a reflector, of course, you have your own specific frequency, your own gifts that are consistent for you, your profile that is huge for you. So I think delving deeper can also be something where you really start to see like, okay, here's my unique flavor. Because if you just stop at type, it can feel really limiting. Like, oh, I'm just, you know, this is all I am. But that's not how it is at all.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, there's a few things that you can do. First, if you're in this comparison place, really checking with that like higher reason why you chose your design, right? Like Dana was saying. Also, then diving deeper to really understand it, because I think there's a lot of information out there that isn't necessarily helpful. Like it's information, but it's not helpful information. And so who you're learning human design from is important to check in with, like the energy behind that person who's teaching or writing or whatever it is that you're connecting with. There's amazing guides out there in this with this system. So definitely we're not saying that you only need to learn from us at all. There's so many people out there that are teaching this in such a beautiful, empowering way. But there's also people who are really stuck in the mental side of it, of like the wording and letting it limit you of like, oh, you have a undefined head. You can only be with someone with a defined head, or you're a 5-1. You can only be with a 2-4. Like there's so many things that we can make. Honestly, we can make anything limiting because our mind can jump in and get hung up on words and technicalities and not really be embodying it. So checking in with like the energy behind the person that you're learning from, do they feel in general empowering to you, or does something feel like off, or like they're really in their not self, or they're feeling really just like not helpful to you? And that has a lot to do with it, because human design is meant to be helpful. It's meant to be giving you freedom and magnetism. So if it is not, it's either you haven't dove in deep enough, or you are not in a place where you're really connected to why you chose this design. And so diving into that, or you're learning from someone who maybe their intention behind it is not empowering. And so really, those are like the three things I would check in with, because it's incredible what your mind can do when you use this potent tool in a way that liberates you versus limits you.
Yeah. And I think if we go to like what our minds are meant to do, it's to keep us safe. And we feel safe when we can put things in boxes and labels and categorize them. So it does make sense why people jump to like, okay, no, this is what it has to mean about me, or else I like it's. Yeah. It's honestly unsettling to like change all the time, and like we're just not used to that type of way of living. And so I can understand why people do it, but I love that you have these tools to be like, maybe you should go book a reader and see what some of your gifts are and feel more empowered versus like, guess I'm just another generator in the world. It's like, that's like saying, I guess I'm just another girl in the world. And it's like, there's billions of women, and some of them are really fucking powerful because they lean into their gifts. So same thing with human design.
Exactly.
I think there's a lot of reflectors that do listen to this podcast because they know I'm a reflector. And we definitely feel like underrepresented a lot in human design content and even like business human design content. And I'm curious, like just from your perspective, obviously running a human design company, do you get that feedback a lot from reflectors? And like, how do you help, I guess, reflectors feel more seen in the human design world?
Yeah, I love that question because our one percenters, you know, first of all, we're really conscious of that. And also with manifesting generators too, because manifesting generators are like a variation of generator, but their energy is so different that we really like to talk about them as their own type, and more like old school traditional human design people like lump them in with generators. But then that's 75% of the population that you're talking about. So for us, it's like, let's really give as much energy as we can to make sure that every type has like equal representation and love. And, you know, for reflectors, we've seen this time and time again, like on our podcast, we talk only about human design mostly, unless we're having a guest. And when we're creating episodes, like we dedicate a whole episode just to manifestors and just to projectors. And when we got to reflectors, people were like, wait, are you going to do a whole episode for reflectors? Like, you know, only 1% of your listeners are going to be able to connect with it. And we were like, of course, we're still doing it. And, you know, ironically, that's been one of our greatest producing and listened to podcasts because it's the only one on reflectors and no one else spends the time for reflectors. So if you think about 1% of the population, it's like a billion people, right? I mean, it's like, it's a lot of people. Yeah, I don't know numbers, but it's a lot of people. And, you know, I think for reflectors in general, finding guides that do hold space for you is so important. And I keep dreaming, it's not me who creates this, but I keep dreaming of someone who's going to create an app only for reflectors, where it really helps you like track your connection to the moon transits, because that information is out there on the computer, but it's so confusing and hard to find. And it's like, nobody has created that app yet, because there's not enough reflectors for it to be like a lucrative business. So we're so anti that. And we're so grateful that people can come to your podcast and learn from you and learn from your influence and just experience as a reflector guide. And yeah, and Jeff, definitely for any reflector, we always encourage them to invest in a reading, because we want you to hear all the things that you are consistently. It really changes everything to hear that deeper layer instead of like just the basics of the way that you're reflecting other people's energy.
Yeah, having a reading as a reflector is huge. And also knowing that if someone's brushing over the reflector side of it, it's a lot of times because they don't have the information or the understanding of like what that really feels like. And it takes a lot of investigation. It takes a lot of training and learning to really understand all of the different intricacies within your chart. And as a reflector, that's the most important part of your chart. Like for other designs, it's more important for them to focus on these bigger, broader places. But for reflectors, like Dana was saying, looking at your gates, looking at your gates placements, looking at your profile, these are things that are huge. And then having the practice of really journaling, like even if you don't have this app that we're dreaming up in the future, which you don't, where that shows you what the moon transit is activating for you that day based on your own gates that you have, just journaling on who was I today? And you can even just have a sentence like, I was more emotional today, or I felt really confident, or I was really thinking on my feet today, or I felt, you know, really swept up with somebody's thoughts, or they were overpowering my own thoughts today. Like writing that down, you can start to see some consistency. Like after you've done that for a month, and then maybe the next month, you can see like, whoa, on around the 15th every month, I was feeling really emotionally overwhelmed. Like that creates a sense of like a point of reference that feels consistent in like a human design world that tells you like nothing's consistent. Good luck. It's like, okay, there are definitely resources out there that can help ground this information in a way that's helpful once again, versus like just more information.
100%. I feel like the Chani app with astrology does that because it shows you your transits and how it relates to your rising sign in each day. And at the end of each day, I usually journal how I feel and then I go reference that app and I'm like, once again, spot on. I always screenshot it and send it to my biz ops person and she's like, yep, that makes sense. And then she'll look at hers and she's like, holy shit, mine's the same. Like, I feel the same way. So I'm like, we need that for human design, especially reflectors. And it does make me think that if there's so many of us feeling frustrated, then maybe one of us should start like a nice, fun workshop or community, like reflectors only. I know there's some that exist out there, but it's now, obviously, I've got my wheels spinning. You guys have me thinking like,
I know, ooh. I'm like, make an app, build an app.
Do it, do it, do it.
Oh my gosh. Can I selfishly ask you one question about my chart?
Oh my gosh, please.
Okay, so I have my chart pulled up, and reflectors, we always have undefined centers, so it's all white. And I'm just curious, like, there's so many numbers and arrows and everything, and I don't know if this is too vague of a question, but is there something that's not listed in, you know, the strategy, authority, profile, et cetera, that you can just look at from a glance and be like, wow, that's a powerful gate, or that's a powerful channel? Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So, well, I mean, I'll just share the first things that stand out to me. And then Dana, do you want to do the same?
Sure.
So to me, just looking at your chart right away, you have so much energy around your root center where almost all of your gates are defined. And then your throat is really powerful as well. So it really tells us that you can have a lot of pressure to do and get things done and want things to be perfect. And you have a lot of drive to provide for yourself and others. And you really like forward progress and momentum. So you pumping the brakes and cutting yourself off before you're burned out is so important, because it might feel a little bit painful to stop working because you have this pressure that's like, I should keep up. I need to keep, there's always more to do, all the things. When you're tapped into like your mission and why things are important to you, that's when you can feel like, okay, I can rest because I've gotten clarity on what my mission is, versus like, I know that it's out there, but I got to keep working towards it, this elusive thing that I haven't clearly pinpointed. So that's another tool that you can kind of lean on when you're feeling like you're burning the candle at both ends. But I would just encourage you, I liken this to like a car that's going downhill. You have to pump the brakes, or eventually you're going to hit something at the bottom and crash. So writing a list, a to-do list, once you do the most time-sensitive things, like, you're done for the day unless you genuinely feel like you have energy to keep going. And then the other thing that really stands out is that your voice, you're here to share meaning. You're here to share your personal stories. You're here to unfilter yourself and call bullshit on things and to be real AF and share your reflections. And then the last thing that stands out is your G center. You have gate one and gate two, and these go really well hand in hand. When you're looking at your G center, it's a diamond in the center. Gate one is the one at the top, reaching up to your throat. And then gate two is the one at the bottom, directly mirroring that one, reaching down towards your sacral. And this really tells us that you have creative ideas and you have the ability and understanding of what's needed to make those ideas actually happen. So you can say, okay, I have this idea for an app. So what do we need to make this happen? Like, we need to reach out to this app designer and this thing, and we need to create this, you know, these graphics and hire this person. And you can bring things into reality. And because this is coming off of your G center that's undefined, you can really do that amazingly for other people, like effortlessly. You can sit across from someone and feel like, okay, this idea, and here's what you need to make it happen, go. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I've been dreaming up, but I didn't really have the like understanding or wherewithal to really know where to start and make it happen. So it's kind of like your genius and your sweet spot. These are your sun and earth gates, unconscious. So you're natural at really bringing out like the tools that are needed to make ideas a reality and make that like manifesting creation happen on the physical plane. So I love the work that you do, because like that's consistent for you, right? Even though the people that you're working with, the ideas that you're working on, the way in which you're working is going to change every single day, but it's always consistent for you to be able to bring ideas into reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would second all of that. I agree. When you're looking at your chart, those are like the things that stand out. But also I would say for anyone looking at your two sun gates, which if you're looking at your chart, you'll see your body graph, but you'll also see these columns on the right and left-hand side that have these numbers listed there. The very first one on the top of both sides of your column are your sun gates. The one on the right is your personality sun gate, which this is the main gift that you're here to express that is conscious to you, right? That your mind is really aware of. On the left-hand side, you have your design gates. And that first one is your design sun gate. So this is the main quality that you're here to express also, but that you might be sort of unconscious of, or it might take a little bit more intention to really become aware of, but it is equally, if not more, as a part of who you are. So looking at those two sun gates tells you so much about what you're here to express and also what your brand is, like what people are wanting from you and needing from you. It feels the easiest for you to express these things. And also it's the thing that benefits others the most. So it's literally like the ultimate win-win to know these two things about yourself. So one of your sun gates is gate 19, which is this really deep sensitivity to what people are needing. It's this ability to just really feel people and to genuinely care. Do they have what they need? And what is it that they're needing? And so you feel really motivated to feel that and to hold space for it and to provide for it when it's aligned for you. And then your other sun gate is gate one, which is all about creating new things into the world. And the same definition that you were talking about with create, like not just art, but also art, anything that you are externalizing and creating into the world of form. So when you combine these two big gifts that you have, you're wanting to create things that come from your own uniqueness and your own love and individuality that are going to really provide for people, to support others and to give them what they need. You're wanting to create things in a way that it's naturally has these wisdom codes within it, where you know it's really going to uplift and support other people into them becoming the best version of themselves. So for anyone, you can look at those two sun gates and really see, you know, what's the big thing that you're here to share. But as a reflector, it's like crucial because you don't have any channels, which are your other gifts that people talk about more frequently. So, you know, to be able to say, yeah, I'm a reflector, but I'm a reflector who's here to express these things. This is my personal brand. This is the thing that comes most natural to me and that other people are really needing from me.
Yeah. And it's relying on yourself of like, what do I feel people are needing? And do they have their needs being met spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, with their health, with their environment, with their resources? Like, do I feel like people's needs are being met? And if not, what do I feel called to create to support people? And that self-reliance versus like, what are people telling me that people should need or where I should work or all of those things, that's where you can get really lost. So knowing like, this is how you're here to lead, coming back to like relying on what you feel is so important. So anyways, I know that was like a quick blast reading at your chart, looking at those gifts, but there's just so much in your design. Like, honestly, we could talk about your chart as a reflector for 100 years because there's so much in there. So it's a never ending rabbit hole. We love it.
Oh my gosh, that was so helpful. And it's something I've never heard before. Because to your point with reflectors, I feel like just being kind of underrepresented, we always hear like wait a lunar cycle and you're here to reflect things back to people and you take space, so you need to decompress alone. And I'm like, I've heard that 5 times. Like, I need to know what else is in my chart. So this was so illuminating. And it actually makes so much sense for the work that I do, like creating a podcast course to help people create a podcast, is like, I gave you all the tools to do it, but I still want you to go make it your own. I didn't say you have to do a solo podcast, an interview, and educational. It's like, I don't care what your podcast is about, but you do have the tools to create it. So I'm like, validation, affirmation. Thank you. That was so helpful. I know that you guys wrote a book that I imagine everything that we talked about today probably goes much deeper, at least gives people so much more insight into their design. Can you tell us a little bit about how this book came to be and what we can expect to read inside of it?
Yes, this book is our baby. She's gorgeous. She's got gold foil on the cover. She's just such a little beautiful being. I have her right here. And it's called Your Human Design. And we actually, as projectors, we were invited to write this book. And it kind of just happened to us. Everything kind of does within our business, especially around writing, because we realized like we didn't set out to be writers, but we are writers apparently. And so we had a course where we were teaching about this really deep side of human design called the primary health system. And in that course, somebody asked us like, are you guys going to write a book? Like, you should write a book. And we were like, no, we never thought about that, but maybe one day. And then a week later, a big publisher reached out to us asking if we wanted to write a book on human design. And we're like, I don't know. We didn't think about this till last week, maybe. And so they asked us to put a book proposal together, and we did. And then nothing happened. Like, nothing happened. We're like, okay, cool. Guess it just wasn't meant to be. And that's fine. So we went along doing our own things. And then we decided to go to Joshua Tree, like alone. We booked an Airbnb for a week and we just wrote because we're like, you know what? This feels creative. It feels fun. Like, let's just get some stuff on paper and see what feels good. So we wrote for a week. And then a few months later, the publisher reached back out and they're like, hey, we went through some changes with management, blah, blah, blah. Can you send your book proposal, you know, with updated numbers back through? We're like, yeah, we actually like have half the book written. They're like, great. Literally got the green light, got the publishing deal. It all happened so fast. And we went to Costa Rica for a training that we had, and we extended our trip, locked ourselves in a boutique hotel in Costa Rica at the end, and wrote the second half of the book. So essentially we wrote this book in 2 weeks, but then of course with the editing and the like refining and, you know, adding all the pictures and the graphics and making it beautiful, that took, you know, a long time and a big process. But it's been the easiest thing and also like just happened thing. And what you can expect in this book, you know, our intention with this book is really making human design accessible and beautiful and empowering. So we really dive into the different types, how you can actually live your strategy and authority, what that really looks like. There's quizzes to really check in with like your not self theme and different aspects of your life. There's recommendations for physical resources that can help you ground and practice your strategy and owning your energy. So like crystals, essential oils, meditations, journal prompts, things like that to help you really ground in this information in a tangible way. And of course, we get into decision making with your authority and the profiles and different affirmations for all the channels and gates. So it goes there, but in a way that is helpful and not just like more information. So it's our baby at the moment. As you know, as a business owner, there's like a new baby being born like every other month. But yeah, our book, Your Human Design, you can find it anywhere. Books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, like literally anywhere. And yeah, dive in that way.
Oh my gosh. Talk about literally living in your design. Like you said, just being invited and then just having that projector magic. All the projectors I know create genius bodies of work in like 5 days. Like every single person I know. I'm like, how does this happen? And then you just said 2 weeks. I'm like, checks out. Yep. So I love that we're seeing a real life embodiment of living in your design and what you created. I want to ask one final question that I ask all my guests. This podcast is called In My Non-Expert Opinion. You guys are both obviously human design experts. What is something that you're not experts in that you wish that you were?
Oh, I love this question.
Well, I don't feel like I'm an expert in literally anything. I'm always like, I'm just learning. I'm just expanding. I'm just growing constantly. But what comes to mind, Dana?
For me, I wish I was an expert in gardening because I have the opposite of a green thumb. I don't know what the opposite of a green thumb is, but I...
Brown thumb.
Yeah, brown thumb AF. Like I'd be killing plants over here. But I really want to eat fresh, alive food, and I want to tend to a garden, and I want to have that relationship and that connection with herbs and plants. And like, it's something that I'm very, very drawn to on sort of like a spiritual level, but in my physical experience, I don't have a lot of experience. So that's something that I wish I was an expert in.
Mm. Love that.
Gosh, there's so many things. Like I wish that, I wish I was an expert in like every type of psychology and like smart people mind shit. clearly I am. And I also wish I was an expert like chef, but more importantly, I kind of wish my husband was an expert chef because that's like the biggest dilemma of my life is eating every single day. And I think for a lot of people, that's the case. And especially in this business realm, we're so focused on like our business and creations and things that we're doing. And it's like, oh, I have to eat. Like, so much energy. So yeah, those two contrasting and completely different places, I would say for me.
I love that. I love that you said smart people mind shit. I think that's what you said. And I'm like, that also is what I want to be an expert in. That sounds amazing. How can everyone connect with you, especially if they want to learn more about human design or become a reader?
Yeah. So you can go to our website, which is daylunalife.com. And that's like a day moon, day luna. So daylunalife.com. And everything's there. We have like physical products. We also have trainings and courses. If you're wanting to really dive in deep, we have our podcast, the Day Luna Human Design Podcast, which you're coming on next. I'm so excited for that. And what else? We have our Instagram at Day Luna. And then our book, Your Human Design. Oh, and we also have a membership, which is, it's called Your Human Design Besties. And it's where we gather every month to teach about human design. We have ceremonies and just a space to connect and dive into human design every single month. And yeah, that's about it. I mean, so many things going on, but yeah, it's all there on daylunalife.com.
Love that. Thank you so much. This has been so expansive, so empowering, and I hope everyone learned something today. Thank you. Well, there you have it. I think if you don't know your human design, you're probably running to go call your mom or the hospital right now to figure out your birth time, because it's going to open up such a portal of knowledge for you. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Be sure to go support Dana and Shayna. I love how their names rhyme. I just can't get over that, that they're business partners. And go follow the Day Luna Human Design Podcast as well as their book. I mean, if this piqued your interest, just imagine what their podcast and book contains. It is a wealth of knowledge, and I know you're going to appreciate it just as much as I did. And if you found value out of this episode, you know what to do. Head over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, leave a review. And if you leave a written review on Apple Podcasts, you'll actually be entered to win one of my most popular Notion docs, the Podcast Planner. So if you're a Notion girly or you just need more project management tools and you're like, I need to organize my podcast, this document is for you. There's a place to plug in your episodes, the content pillar. There's a template there where you can plug in your audio files, the title pitches, the show notes. It has everything you need to keep yourself organized. And I will give this to you completely free if you leave a review on Apple Podcasts. So all you have to do is go to Apple Podcasts and find my show, In My Non-Expert Opinion. Scroll down to the part where it says write a review. Go ahead, write the review, and then take a screenshot before you send it into Apple Podcasts, because sometimes it gets lost in the interwebs. And then shoot that review over to info@chelseareif.com or DM me on Instagram @chelseareif. So again, Apple Podcasts, screenshot your review, send it to info@chelseareif.com or @chelseareif on Instagram, and I will enter you into this giveaway to win this Notion document, the podcast planner. All right, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Chelsea Reif. This is In My Non-Expert Opinion, and I will see you in the next episode.